The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us this morning as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show, where today we're going to be talking about the reliability of online retirement calculators, as well as take up some issues with financial literacy as people age. Plus, as always, we're going to hear an update on what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. So welcome this morning. My name is Chris Stein. I'm a certified financial planner, and I'm here with Jim Saulnier, also a certified financial planner.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good afternoon.
It's actually good afternoon for us. This is a pre-recorded show. We are recording this on March 22nd. It's a Tuesday, but this is actually going to play this weekend on the 29th, I think it is?
26th.
I was close.
Close. Upside down.
Upside down.
Six is a nine, yeah.
That's what I figured.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, on that's the day before Easter, actually. This is Easter weekend. Easter's kind of early this year.
Yes, so it'll be the Easter Eve.
The morning of Easter Eve, yes.
Morning of Easter Eve, yes.
Do you celebrate Easter Eve?
Go hunt wabbit.
No. They're probably plentiful.
They are around
point,
my house
out,
in Bertha.
They're out
they're
dropping
everywhere.
Eggs everywhere.
Do you see the YouTube video of the Easter Bunny getting to a melee in a mall?
I didn't click play, but I saw it as existence.
Yeah, I don't really go to YouTube that much, but I didn't see it. They had it on the news, so they had a 5-second snippet of this rather big Easter Bunny. He was a big dude.
Did he win?
It was just amazing. There was so many people involved. It just I couldn't
Easter
tell
Bunny
who
was one of them.
He
in
was
the
in
melee?
The middle. Fur was flying.
Oh my gosh!
But apparently, one of the fathers got upset with the way the Easter Bunny talked to his daughter or something. I don't know. So they solved it with what they knew best, which was violence. And the fists were flying, and Easter Bunny's little hat came off, or head rather. But
his whole head came off.
But yeah, but there was a guy under it.
Well, I realized that. I didn't. Jim, you know the Easter Bunny is not real, right?
Careful, there's people listening to this.
No, the one at the mall isn't
the
real.
The one at the mall isn't real, no. Yeah. But yeah, he was big Easter Bunny.
Well, he has to carry a lot of chocolate.
He was, and there was quite a few people ganging up on him.
God. And in what town did this take place?
I do not remember. But go to YouTube and just type in Easter Bunny fight, and you'll see it. So anyways, it is a pre-recorded show.
Mm-hmm. On a beautiful day. Hopefully
it is beautiful,
beautiful
today.
On Saturday.
Yeah. Well, no, actually this weekend is supposed to be coolish and snowy-ish rain.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, well, welcome to spring in Colorado. It was 70 yesterday, 65 today. It's going to snow tomorrow. And by time Saturday, which will be Wednesday because today's Tuesday, and by time Saturday rolls around, right back into the muck of things, which is good. We need mm-hmm. the moisture. We had a very warm and dry February.
We did. I enjoyed it very much.
As a gardener, I did not. Mm. I liked
it. I missed the snow last week while you guys were here, and the snow, was the snow decent? Or
It snowed a lot and then melted very promptly. I mean, as soon as the sun comes out, it's history.
By the time I got back, it was pretty much gone.
Yeah. For those who don't know, for those iTunian listeners listening off of iTunes, happy Christmas Eve as well. Not Christmas Eve, Easter Eve, because they're listening to this on Easter Eve.
I was going to say, if there's that much of a delay, we should look at some other process for
yeah,
posting.
We had another person say mm-hmm. it took about 2 weeks for our last show to come on board. Mm. We've tried explaining why it takes a while. You know, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's not. This one, because it's pre-recorded, can actually go to compliance for approval.
Ahead of time.
But mm-hmm. the live shows, we have to wait, then we have to get a copy from the radio station, then we have to send it to compliance, and it can take a while.
Well, I just hope it's okay that we talk about Easter Eve.
Easter Eve, yes. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to say for those iTunians who are listening and don't quite know, most snow in Colorado falls in March.
It's our
snowiest month. It is the snowiest month, mm-hmm. and which is odd because most people are embracing spring and warmth. And mm-hmm. we do get very warm here. Mm-hmm. But when storms come in, this time of year, they're usually snow. It's called an upslope. The storms flow in. They usually flow south of us. And then that east flow wind, as the storms are rotating counterclockwise, pushes all the moisture up against what we call out here the front range. And that just drains them. But normally, this time of year, it also sucks down some cold air and it snows.
I didn't realize you were a weather person, too.
I follow this.
How is El Nino going to... How is that going to play into this whole process?
So what I'm getting at is... it'll snow one day, and then as soon as it stops and the sun comes out, it's 70 again. I mean, it just melts instantly. So I don't even bother breaking out the snowblower unless we get one of those extreme spring storms where we can get a foot and a half, 2 feet of snow. So then I would use it. But on those, I have to be tricky. I have to snowblow while it's still snowing because as soon as the snow stops and the sun comes out, it just gets into that thick, heavy snow, and it won't go through the snowblower.
I agree.
So as long as the sun's not out, it's mm-hmm. still relatively dry.
So you're out there in the middle of the storm.
I'll be in the middle of the storm.
Blowing.
Snow in the blow, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Snow in the blow.
Yep. So something I've learned. When I first moved out here, I didn't get all that.
No.
You have to learn how Colorado weather works. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we wanted our...
Nice update, meteorologist
iTunians.
Jim.
Yes, thank you. No problem. Mm-hmm. You didn't know I had many talents.
I knew you had a couple.
Another thing, we want to give a shout out to Pete, who's not here today recording with us. Mm-hmm. He could not be here today. As people know, he is retiring, so he's in the pre-retirement phase of a very busy workload. So not only is he extremely busy, I did talk to him several times today in the morning about a client case we're working on. Mm-hmm. Not only is he very busy, he himself will be on vacation shortly. Mm. He's leaving in a couple of weeks. So we are going to try to get him on... I hope within the next week or two. Okay. I know next weekend is your birthday weekend, correct?
Correct, and I,
you're
yes.
probably not going to want to.
I would not like to go live right. on Saturday
Well, I'll
the
see
second.
If Pete wants to do it with me live on the 2nd.
That'd be nice.
So he and I can come in. If not, we'll try to get Pete on before he leaves for vacation because then he won't be here mm-hmm. for April. This pre-retirement vacation stuff has got to end.
Seems kind of presumptuous.
It is. He's, wait till you retire, Pete, then go do fun things. But anyways, I'm just razzing him.
Did you enjoy last week while I was on vacation?
I didn't even notice you weren't here. You weren't here?
I wasn't even in the country.
I was teasing you. Where'd you guys go?
Went to Mexico.
Mexico. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm still, every once in a while, a little Spanish will leak out. Yesterday when I went to class, I walked in and I greeted everyone with hola. Accidentally.
Well, they all knew what you were saying.
They did. This is Colorado, so there's a lot of Spanish that kind of bounces around out here. And plus, hola is kind of a well-known greeting in Spanish. So
exactly.
We had a nice time. Warmer down there, no snow.
No I don't snow. Think it snows in
we
Mexico.
We had a little bit of wind, but... No, it was warm.
Now,
warm
did you
wind,
take
beach.
Your wife and all 18 kids?
Only two got
two.
To go.
Two? Mm-hmm.
The other kids were busy doing other stuff, so they got tough luck for them.
I'm sure they didn't mind.
No. Well, a couple of them were in one of the Carolinas. One went to Iowa, see some friends and go to a concert. So they were kind of spread all over the place. We skedaddled from Mexico.
Good deal. Good deal.
It was hard to come back. As much as I like coming here to see you, Joe.
I was going
to
say, yeah, you'd have missed me if you didn't come back.
A little bit. I could have called you, though, and felt better about
Text
it.
Text me.
Text you. Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Okay. Well, today, folks.
A lot of tacos and margaritas, which is.
Well, that's what you would
they
have
do
in
very
Mexico.
Well.
Yes,
they do those things very well down there. Yes.
And anybody get Montezuma's revenge?
My youngest daughter, she might have just had a little heat exhaustion thing going on, but she had a little tummy trouble one afternoon, but she ate the same thing the rest of us did, so I don't think it was no revenge.
Ah, okay.
So we're all back. Where we go down there, I eat all the time down there, and I get sicker going to Taco Bell locally than I do eating down there.
Should we give a disclaimer so we're not sued by Taco Bell?
It's just my personal experience. This is not the experience of all those who attend Taco Bell. You'll have to come to your own conclusions.
The opinions of the show host do not necessarily reflect the opinions.
I enjoy an occasional Taco Bell. Not as much as I did when I was in college. I'd eat
I think Taco Bell is definitely the realm of college kids. Yeah. It is not... Hey, let's go grab Mexican. Okay, let's go grab Taco Bell.
My constitution has evolved over the years, and it's not as compatible, not as simpatico with Taco Bell as it once was.
Especially here in Colorado, because we have so many fine Mexican restaurants. Because we do have a very large Hispanic population and just phenomenal and Mexican restaurants. Where
bless
I,
them all.
Yes, yes. You don't really want to go to Taco Bell and grab a chumpalapa, whatever they call
it. There were no chumpalapas in Mexico. No. Nor enchiladas. They don't know what those are. But
I think Taco Bell just comes up with these names.
They do. They do. The last one was a queso something. It was like a half quesadilla, half taco or something like that.
Queso taco?
Taquerita? Quesaria? Taqueria? I don't know.
They create their own names.
They do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like enchilada. It was half enchilada, half burrito. That's not a
kind of like brunch.
I don't think Taco Bell invented brunch.
But it's on that same token, half breakfast, half lunch.
Maybe so.
All right. Well, I'm certainly not getting hungry because I don't really care for Taco Bell, but I do love Mexican food, real Mexican food.
True.
Okay. So we have a full palate today, a full plate, as you like to say, of some very unique topics to discuss. And part of the thing is I had been following these two reports that have recently came out, and you and I hadn't talked. And I thought, gee, these will make good radio show topics. And I saved the reports. And then today, as you know, a good friend of mine is in the hospital. So we went off to the hospital. And I said, Chris, find something to talk about. We're going to record later today. And when I came back, lo and behold, you had the same two reports. So I think
great minds.
Great minds think alike. So with you wanting to talk about them and I wanting to talk about them, I thought, well, let's talk about them today.
We might be the only two, but... Since it's our show, we're going to talk about
it. It's our
them.
Show. We can talk about whatever we want. Mm-hmm. If I want to keep talking about tacos and Easter bunnies, I will. But I don't want them.
No.
I want to get
in. This is a good time to stop
that. So what we have are two reports that recently came out that, to me, validated a lot of what we do in the office as a firm and a lot of what we talk about on the radio show trying to educate and entertain our listeners about retirement planning. So I want to delve into these two topics because I think it is crucial that people understand why we personally believe in retirement planning the way we do. We've named our process. We've called it the Secure Retirement Income Process. It's just a name that we came up with. We've shared before on the radio show the funny way we came up with that name. It's a very serious name as far as we're concerned because it captures the essence of what we're trying to do. But coming up with the name was challenging, to say the least, as we were dealing with compliance. You know the whole story there.
It was. There are certain banned words.
Right,
which would have been maybe more optimal to use in our description, but we're not allowed.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it was the funny way that my sarcasm
For the funny way your mind works.
Yes.
Right. Where we ended up on.
Thankfully, the security person who was working with me thought, wow, this guy's funny. But at least I think that's what he was thinking. But anyways, long story short, Chris and I came up with that process that we call the security time and income process. And we have talked about it in the past. It's not so much about the process per se. It is the reasons behind the process that I think adds the most validity to what we do and helps cement in our minds and in the minds of people we may or may not work with why we do it. These two reports support the premise, not the process. There's other advisors who may have a different strategy for doing what we do. Mm-hmm. They have a different process. But they're all trying to react to a few truisms in human nature, and also a few truisms as far as retirement planning itself goes. So what am I getting at? Well, let's chat about the first report that I read and you printed originally from the Wall Street Journal. And then, as I often do, I download the actual reports. I don't necessarily rely on what the reporter writes. I go and get the report themselves. And I actually have this first report that we are going to talk about. I downloaded it, and we'll get into some of the more nitty-gritty. I actually read it. It was a lot easier to read than the Harvard one I downloaded, the one that we talk about that we'll also reference in today's show. That one was written... it was English, and I read it. I just wasn't sure what I was reading, but I relied on what you jokingly refer to as the cliff notes, but what the professors called the executive summary.
Yes, or abstract.
Abstract, yes mm-hmm. The abstract. And that was in English. I could actually understand.
So there's proof they could write in English, right?
Right. Yeah. But when academics write, and they write in that academic language, mm-hmm. it's kind of like secret code to you guys. Mm-hmm. But why is the abstract understandable and the actual study not?
Because they know they have to write something for you to read, and then something for the
other academics journals to read.
Right, exactly.
So we've talked about that study in the past as well, and we'll talk about it again. What was pleasing about this study, even though it was, again, from some professors at Texas Tech Research Institute, we talk about Texas Tech a lot. They are a big university in our industry, and it also used some researchers from Utah Valley University. There, it's kind of like the entire study was written as an executive summary.
Much nicer.
It was very understandable. It was like 30 pages long, but I understood them all. Unlike the Harvard one where I was like, whoa.
So what did the study say?
Well, what they were doing is they were trying to determine the accuracy of online retirement planning calculators.
Oh. Kind of like the ones you see when you go to different financially related websites.
They went to, and I can name because it's in a public study, and this was picked up by the news media. So later on, we'll name, if we have time, I'll name all 36 that they use. But some of the big ones, they analyzed some from actual custodians, such as Vanguard, Fidelity, and T. Rowe Price. Others came from organizations, AARP's website, and others came from not necessarily custodian or organization, but they came... Trying to find the...
There's maybe some financial press in there. Like
yeah, that's
Kiplinger's
it.
Kiplinger's has one, I know.
Kiplinger's and Money Guide. MarketWatch. That's it. Goodness, I couldn't get it.
Yep.
I'm trying to read it in the article. So there's some websites that you would go to for financial news, some websites you would go to for actual financial investments, and some websites you just belong to, like AARP, merely because you belong to an organization. Mm-hmm. So they did a wide cross-section study. And what they did is they created a hypothetical couple. And they went to each of these sites and pretended to be this couple. And the couple was married. They each earned $50,000. They were in their 50s, and I forget exactly how far from retirement they were. They had a certain amount of assets, and they designed it, and they worked with some real human advisors, and they wanted to design a scenario that probably would fail. That was the point, to create a hypothetical couple who earned decent money, $50,000 each, had several hundred thousand dollars of assets, were in their 50s and planning on retiring, and they wanted to go to these websites, put in all the information for their hypothetical couple, and see if the website said they could retire or not. But at the same time, they proofed it with some real financial advisors, and one financial advisor they used is well-respected in our industry from Florida, Harold Ivansky, very well-respected. And they wanted to make sure that, in the professional's opinion, this couple could not retire, this hypothetical couple.
Well, they could. They just are looking at a
failure
situation, and failure in retirement is simply you outlive your money. So you outlive your ability for your assets and other income to support you in the way that you'd like. So that's the, so just so I can define for everyone, failure of retirement. That's the one sure way to succeed in retirement. Die early is one option, but the other option is to fully prepare for retirement.
Absolutely.
So this couple was intentionally designed not to be fully prepared, and they wanted to see if these websites would actually pick up on that and maybe warn this hypothetical couple that they need to save more or delay retirement or something like that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what was shocking to them is more than two-thirds of the online websites gave them a thumbs up. Said you are on track for retirement, even though it was purposely designed to be a retirement that wouldn't work. So it's kind of similar to the gotchas you see on local news all the time, and sometimes like 48 hours and everything do these undercover camera things. Usually I've seen it done with plumbers coming into your house. They unscrew a little thing on your heater that is very easy to fix, and to try to see how many plumbers would say, you know, you need a whole new unit. Or they do it with cars. You go in and this car is certified. The only problem is, you know, this switch here. And they go to all these different mechanics, and some say, oh, you need this, that. Now, they're not implying that these websites are doing anything nefarious like that at all. That's not what we're implying. It's not what they were implying. I'm just saying what they were doing is very similar to what the news stories do. They get a professional to certify there is nothing wrong with this heater, there is nothing wrong with this car, but this. So that's what this group did. They had the professionals. Remember, we're talking Texas Tech here, very well respected in the financial planning industry. Mm-hmm. You had their professors. You had very highly regarded advisors in our industry who were certifying, yes, this couple will fail. They will not be able to retire. They were going to retire at age 63 and 65. The man was going to retire at 65, the woman at 63. They were in their mid-50s, making $50,000 each a year. Very typical middle-class person's scenario. And they found over two-thirds, and we'll read the entire list, but over two-thirds of these free financial planning websites said you're okay. And that's what they want to bring to your attention, that where is the culpability? Where is the liability? Who has the responsibility? And I want to warn listeners, as we come back, some of the reasons why we don't recommend you rely on something that might take you 5 minutes to fill in. And they used a wide variety of software programs, they said. Some took them a few minutes to fill in. Others took upwards of half an hour to fill in. Some asked a few questions. Others asked probing questions. So all these online calculators were coming up with different ways of doing it, but they were very restrictive in what they would allow, and very wrong, I guess you could say, in the results they were providing. And their point is to warn people. And again, I would be amazed at anybody who thinks they're going to log on to a free website, type in a little bit of information about what they have, click calculate, and rely on the results. Yes, you can retire. Everything is fine, or whatever it is these websites say. I would be shocked on anyone doing that, only because we run an entire practice dedicated to retirement planning, and we know how long it truly takes to do an analysis. We have to project 20, 25, 30 years of a person's life, and we're going to do that in 20 minutes and a mouse click? So we'll get back into, when we come back, some of the findings that the study was cautioning us on, and a little bit about how we do things and what people should look for.
Yeah, so we can look at some of the reasons why they might have come to these incorrect conclusion. So when we come back, we are going to hear the number one song from 1935 as we look back to the beginning of Social Security. One of the top hits in 1935 was a song made for the movie Times Square Lady, starring Robert Taylor and Virginia Bruce. So we'll hear what that was shortly when we come back from this short break on the Retirement and IRA Show.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. It's one of Jim's favorite songs from 1935. What song is that, Jim?
I didn't know I had a favorite song from 1935.
Oh, yeah. You used to talk incessantly about this particular
song. Does anybody sing in that one, or is it just instrumental?
In this version of it, there's not much singing.
Can you give me a hint? Like the rhymes artist, with?
Artist's name is six words.
Six words?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it involves people to the north of us.
Eskimos?
Not that far north.
Wyomingites?
Farther.
Canadians?
Yeah, there you go. Canadians is the last word in the title of the artist.
And what's the fifth word in the title?
Royal.
The Canadian Mounted Royal Police. The Mounted Canadian Royal Mounties.
Kind of. Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians.
Oh, I was close.
Yeah. I don't think Guy was a police officer, but... Name of the song, What's the Reason I'm Not Pleasing You?
You're playing that song?
That's the name of the song.
No, that's the reason you're not pleasing me. Do they? So they actually talk in this, or sing in it, rather.
Not this version.
Oh.
It's the song was featured predominantly in the 1935 American crime drama, Times Square Lady. This was the story of a quiet, innocent woman from Iowa who, upon her father's death, inherits a sizable estate. She receives assistance from many of her father's business associates, and you can imagine how that goes, and learns a valuable lesson in who to trust. The budget for this film was especially high for the day at $310,000. Fascinating. I know that was your favorite song. Was that your favorite movie from 1935?
Absolutely. I have the DVD.
Can't get enough.
No, I have the video at home. Mm-hmm. Just waiting for the X-ray, not the X-ray version. The
X-rated version?
No, I said X-ray version, not X-ray. What is it? Oh, Blu-ray.
Blu-ray.
I knew it was
Wow.
Blue something.
So, here we are on the Retirement and IRA Show. We spoke in the previous segment, those of you who are just joining us, about a recent study that came out from some professors at Texas Tech, mostly. I think they had some assistance from some others, that essentially provided some results from a study on online retirement calculators, is what they're called, where there's these places where you go and enter some information about your savings and how much you make and maybe some other demographic information about your age and how long you expect to live and Social Security. And, you know, I could go on and on and on, depending on how detailed the calculator is. But then it spits out for you an opinion about if you're on track to successfully retire, which we define success in retirement as you don't run out of money before you pass away. That's kind of the basic level of success. And turns out that well over two-thirds, I think the number was 72% of the calculators that they tried, gave them a false green light, an incorrect...
False positive.
A false positive, which was a very high rate of failure in this case. You know, the positive signal was wrong because they intentionally used a hypothetical couple that was designed in their details
to fail.
To look like a failure, like this would not be a wise, to remain on their trajectory would not be wise for a successful retirement. But these calculators were being essentially overly optimistic about their chances for retirement.
And what they found in the study, they found that there was no uniformity amongst the 36 tools. Again, we talked about that in the previous segment. Some only took them a few minutes to complete. Others took much longer. There was no uniformity. They also found that many of the tools were merely designed to sell something. And again, it all comes back to this free. And we talk about it all the time on this show because we have people even in the local Colorado. We're in Northern Colorado. There's people who play ads on the radio station we're on, KFKA. There's other people who play ads on the other Fort Collins stations, KCOL and others, offering to do free retirement analysis. If you have more than $200,000 or $150,000 or $300,000, whatever their minimums are, I don't know. If you have more than this much and you are within a year or 10 years of retirement, come into our office for free, no obligation, customized, in-depth, free retirement income analysis or retirement analysis, as if these people are going to do this for free. Truly do it for free. Shake your hand, pat you on the back, and as you walk out the door, in the 10 minutes you were in this guy's office, he just gave you a free retirement analysis. So I equate these websites to those same charlatans because I will call them charlatans.
Maybe they're just nicer than us.
Yeah, well, sorry. They're charlatans as far as I'm concerned because these people are trying to sell you something. You go to a free lunch seminar, trust me, they're trying to sell you something. Most people know that. And you go to these providers who are going to give this free customized retirement income report. You get what you pay for when it's free. Just so happens, two of the people who recently hired us to do a retirement analysis for them had these free ones. Not from the people I'm talking about on the radio, but from, and I won't mention the names, for some very well-known financial firms, national financial firms. Mm-hmm. But if you heard the names, I'll tell you off radio, because I don't think I've told you this part yet. These firms, you'll recognize the names instantly. Mm-hmm. Instantly. And both the people said to us, we don't trust what they gave us. And I looked at them and they were just so lacking in their juvenilistic approach. And they said exactly that. They just gave it to us. They didn't really ask as much in questions. And I really can't rely on this. I don't feel comfortable about it. Fortunately, those people picked up on what free means. But equally unfortunately, many people don't. So they hear these radio ads and they go into someone's office. Well, and get something for quote-unquote free that is really designed to do one thing and one thing only, buy something from this advisor who's giving you away something for free. Well, they found, and I'm reading it on the study here, they found that most of these sites, not all of them, and I would assume I have to speak openly here, probably the ones at like an AARP website, they're not really looking to sell you something, I don't know, but others on some of those sites that they used probably were looking to sell you something, and that's exactly what they found, that most of these were designed at the end to sell you a product or to put you in touch now with one of their advisors who are going to be able to polish up and fix everything. But they gave false positives 72% of the time. And here's a little bit about the hypothetical couple. It was a male age 59 and a female who was age 57. They each earned $50,000 annually. They were going to retire, the male at age 65, the female at 63. They expected annual retirement expenses of $70,000 net of taxes. They were going to begin Social Security each at age 66. They were going to live to 90 on the man, 92 on the female, and they had currently saved $700,000. So you look at a lot of that and you think, oh, this is going to be achievable.
Having done a lot of these plans, I can tell you that I would, just knowing that right there, I would say at best, they're on the border, because I've just seen enough of these where someone who's planning to spend $70,000 a year.
Net of taxes.
Net of taxes. And only has $700,000 saved, retiring at relatively young ages, 65 and 63, having decent life expectancy, 90 and 92. You know, I would say, without going to these calculators, that it's going to be a little tight. It's going to be a bit tight. And also, the first thing you start to wonder on these things is, how have they come up with these numbers? How did they arrive at the 70,000? A lot of people, just to take a nice shortcut, they will look at their pre-retirement expenses and say, you know, I'm going to still have, say, 70 or 80% of those. Or they'll look at their income. In this case, it was $100,000 for the couple. And a planner or someone, one of these sites will suggest, plan on needing 70 or 80% of that number. Well, that's just kind of a roundabout figure that's in the realm of possibility, but who knows if it applies to your specific situation. And when you're looking at the expenses now versus your expenses as you age, you and I both know that that mixture of expenses changes significantly. If you're basing these projections on your current batch of expenses, well, I've got some info for you. Your expenses are going to be very different looking as you age, as you get into your late 60s and 70s and 80s. You're going to be spending money, first of all, on things you never imagined having to spend money on. Your body changes, your medical needs change. You may not need glasses now, you need glasses as you age. There's lots of things that are going to be very different, and there'll even be things that you're spending money on now that you won't spend money on in the future. The problem for most people, and this is what I harp on when I talk to people about doing retirement planning, is that you've never retired before. You've been living a long time not retired. So you've had a lot of practice at that. So by the time you're in your 50s, think of all the decades, all the years that you've now practiced being not retired. You're a pretty good expert at doing that. You have yet, though, to be retired and do things like collect Social Security and be under the Medicare system and worry about insurance issues that you didn't have before and worrying about elder care or changing your home and living in a place that can facilitate you in a wheelchair at times and, you know, all those different things that kind of come up that you haven't had to experience yet. And if you remember back in your early 20s when you hadn't had a lot of practice not being retired, most people weren't very good at it. Right? They weren't sure what they were, how to budget and what they were going to have to spend money on. And things really came as a surprise and a shock. And you know, things just didn't work out as well as they thought. By the time they get into their 30s, 40s, and 50s, they've got a lot of practice. Well, guess what? You're going to be back in your early 20s again. You're going to be back in that phase of life where you're doing something completely unlike you had done before. For the first 15 to 18 years or so, you were with your parents. You got pretty good at that by the time you were done. Then you left home, and things weren't very smooth for quite a while. Some people are faster learners than others, but eventually most people do kind of get it. Well, you're going to be thrown into that turmoil once again. Luckily, you know, there's some guidance for people who are in their 20s to learn how to budget and do things. There's guidance there. People who've lived it can give you some advice, maybe your own parents. And guess what? There's retirement experts as well who... they themselves may not have been retired, but they've helped dozens or even hundreds of people through the process. So they've seen it all happen over and over and over again and can really help in this area. Some basic 5-minute computer program where you're plugging in a few things on there, they're not going to look into any of this kind of stuff. It would get way too complicated for you to fill out, first of all. If any of these websites really asked all the questions that need to be asked, no one would ever go there because they would spend 2 hours trying to answer all these crazy questions that the thing started going into about medical issues and what their expectations are for travel and dining habits, what kind of food they like to eat, what area of the country that they're in, you know, the plethora of things that we have to consider when somebody's retiring. So I'm not surprised that these sites are inaccurate.
I wasn't surprised either. It's kind of like when we did that radio show a couple of months ago, and for those iTunians or for those listening who didn't hear this one, it was the top seven surprises of retirement experts when they retired. When I read that article and when we did the show, I was surprised on a lot of that. I was surprised on what alleged experts didn't know. This study did not surprise me because I never relied. As someone who does this for a living, I laughed at these sites. What I think the issue is, and I hope regulators and goodness, as a free market libertarian, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I hope regulators look at this, because the researchers wrote in here, providers of publicly available retirement planning tools have the opportunity to exploit naive users. Many tools market themselves as sufficient to answer the most common retirement question, how much do I need to retire? However, the tool inputs and default settings are established merely to guide households into purchasing financial products or speaking to a financial professional who may be paid to sell proprietary products. The lack of consistency in inputs and default settings make these tools questionable for planning and educational purposes. And I think that's the problem. We have to follow a tremendous amount of rules and compliance issues because we actually sell our plan. We don't give it away. We actually tell clients, you've got to pay us to do a plan. And we're held responsible. And we have to act as fiduciaries for our clients. And no one who purchases a plan from us actually has to use us to implement any, if any, recommendations that are made. We don't know what we're going to end up telling a person you should consider doing. But if it does involve investing or purchasing an income annuity or looking at this or that or another thing, our contract clearly states you don't have to use us. We got someone who reached out to us from iTunes recently, said, I'm interested in working with you. But essentially, she said, I really don't want you to manage my assets. I'm happy doing that. Can I still work with you? And I'm amazed that people have to ask me that, because so much in our industry is, oh, roll this money over to us and we'll give you a financial plan.
Well, what they're saying is we're going to hide the true cost of what we're giving to you in fees and then pretend to give you some free stuff. That's essentially what they should be required to say.
But that's bring not this, what they say.
No, that's not what they say. They bring this money over to us and we will hide from you, although technically it's not hidden. They have to divulge it to you, but they're going to divulge it to you in a very obscure way. Those rules are getting tightened up, so hopefully they'll get even tighter so it's a little more obvious to people. But we're going to hide behind these layers of confusion and charge you money. But then to make you feel like you're getting something of value, we're going to throw these quote unquote free things at you, like this free retirement plan.
But that brings me to another issue that is not discussed in this research report, but that I have seen anecdotally in 17 years of doing retirement planning. And one is what I talked to you before we went live. You know, we won't mention what we go to. We go to an industry-specific informational sharing forum, I guess we could call it that, where some of the information is questionable, but there is some good information on there. But it's where a bunch of advisors get together and share ideas. One of them was, what software are you using for financial planning? And we're unique because we concentrate on just retirement planning. That's all we do. That's I guess you could say, niche specialty. It's not, you don't hire us to do a college plan or do a debt management or anything like that. We are retirement planners only. But one person wrote and did ask, what software do you use for retirement planning? And all these different offers, well, you should use this, you should use that, you should this one. And one person wrote and said the software program, and you know the program I'm talking about because we evaluated it. For a variety of reasons, we didn't like it. But what she wrote as the reason that this person should consider it, she said this. She said, you should consider this because I am a one-person operation, and I'm not picking on one-person operations at all. I was a one-person operation for years before I started hiring people. But she said, I can get a retirement analysis done in an hour, and I don't have much more time than that to work on the plans. And she went on to say, I'm a one-person shop. Now, I'm not picking on one-person shops, listeners. There are many, many good advisors. Many close colleagues of mine still have just one person, them. And that's how they choose to do things. But what I was shocked on wasn't the, because this was a program we said, no, it doesn't go to the length we want to go. But her criteria was, what can be the quickest that I can give someone? And it shocked me on that answer. I didn't post anything. I wasn't looking to pick a fight or pick on business models. My practice is different. We talk about that. We bring Pete on board. We bring Justin on board. There's you. Everybody knows if you listen to our show, you're the more knowledgeable one on Social Security. Pete, I mean, goodness, there's nobody I know who knows more about estate planning than Pete. Justin knows his long-term care, and he's in the process of getting his enrolled agent designation for advanced tax planning. We recently brought Andrew on board. He's our newest hire. He has a Juris Doctorate, but he also is very knowledgeable in Medicare and Medicare plans and Medigap. And I have to bring these other people on board because I, as a certified financial planner, I'm kind of the retirement specialist. You know, I belong to the EdSlot advisory program. I study IRAs and 401ks and distribution planning under the EdSlot program. I've been with this program for 9 years. So that's my area of specialty. One person, in my opinion, can't know it all. One software program, as this study found, can't do it all. And when you look at the amount of time we do, an hour? My goodness. And I'll let you add this, Chris, because you and Justin do the data entry. When a person brings in a plan, you guys are the ones doing the data entry. I have written, along with you and input from Justin, we wrote what we call our budgeting guide. And it is a 60-page document that we send a client when they decide to do a retirement analysis. And it really asks them 60 pages worth of questions. And I think the best way of describing it is people have shared with us afterwards, there is so much here that we never even thought of considering. And that's just the beginning. When we gather the data, we then start comprising the data, and that generates a tremendous amount more questions. And then there's communication going back and forth. What did you mean by this you wrote? What did you mean by that? What are you trying to achieve here? What will we do there? And then the key, the biggest key to our secure retirement planning process isn't the 60-page document you have to complete, the data we have to collect. Remember, people, you're asking us to project 20, 30, 40 years of your life. I can't do this with a three-question questionnaire or 20 minutes in front of a computer. This is the amount of data we collect, but then I always tell people, this has to be updated every year. It's wrong. I can tell you it's wrong because I can't even tell you what the weather is going to do this coming Saturday, let alone what expenses and experiences you are going to have in 8 years from now. So what we tell people is we collect the data, we comprise the data, we begin creating a plan and a process, but then we update it every year. The good news is you get a 3-page document for the update. Very easy. It's a printout of everything we entered in. And you simply say, yes, this is still what I'm doing here. No, this needs to be changed. Very easy on the updates. But that is the most crucial element in the entire planning process, is to understand you have a relationship. So when we come back, I'm going to have you share with our listeners a little bit about the time it takes and why I was shocked when I heard or read this advisor saying, I'm using this software program because I can be done in an hour.
It's like having a bunch of painters get together, sitting around talking about, you know, what's the best way for me to paint houses? And the one person says, well, you should do it my way because it only takes me an hour to paint the whole house.
Oh, yeah, that'll be the good one. I like that analogy.
Right? I mean, it's imagine the quality that went into that. Very, very little. Now, is it possible to paint a house in an hour? Probably is. But I'm not sure it's going to be the kind of job that someone who spends 8 or 10 hours painting your house is going to do. So, anyway, we'll talk a little bit more in detail about that when we come back from this break. When we come back from this break, we're going to hear the number one song this week in 1976, right? 1976, which is 40 years ago this week. And we're going to hear this number one song actually is a repeat, but this song is about a nostalgic look back on an eventful night, and it was one of the most successful songs for this popular rock band that was considered the most popular rock band before the Beatles. So that'll put you back before the Beatles. So we'll find out who that is when we get back here from this short break, and we are here on the Retirement and IRA Show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is, for the third week in a row, the number one song, 1976, this week at least in 1976. So looking back 40 years as we take our little journey that will end up at an update on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. And that is, in fact, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. All Four Seasons, were they in that one song?
Seems I would like a lot of seasons four
in one song, but that is Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Song December 1963, also known as Oh, What a Night. Frankie Valli worked as a barber until he could support himself with his music. His early mentor was the country singer Texas Gene Valli. Is that Gene or John? Is it Gene? It looks like a girl's name, but I don't think...
How do you spell it?
J-E-A-N. That's usually a... I think there might be a typo there.
That's Gene.
The Gene that's a boy is usually G-E-N-E.
Well, why you assume...
Like Eugene.
Why do you assume Texas Gene is a boy? You're just jumping to a conclusion there. There are female country singers.
That's where Valli, his last name, came from. So Frankie Valli, although he changed the spelling, it's V-A-L-L-I, whereas Texas Gene or John or Jean Valli was the traditional V-A-L-L-E-Y.
Maybe you should Google Texas Gene
Valli.
And maybe Frankie it's Valli's a woman.
Well, as I'm looking that up, do you know what Frankie Valli's original name was?
Steve?
No. His whole name.
Steve Smith? I have no idea.
Well, I think there's another typo. We need to talk to our typist.
That would be Tina. Are you picking on Tina?
Francesco. I'm pretty sure it's Francesco, but we're going to...
So in other words, your hints and little song snippets are not up to date right now.
Well, they're very up to date.
Well, why don't we explain?
Well, Texas Jean might actually be a woman.
See?
What? Well, that makes more sense with the spelling.
So Texas Jean is a woman.
Well, I'm not positive about that.
Is there a picture?
Well, there's a mixture of pictures with that thing. Some of them are men or some are boys.
Maybe it was a man who became a woman like that runner there, Jenner, whatever his name is.
Oh, it is a woman.
See?
And there is a misspelling. Valley was V-A-L-L-I for Jean and for Frankie.
So he took Jean's name.
Yes, last name. But Frankie Valley's first name, I'm pretty sure, is Francesco, not...
Francesco?
Yeah.
All right, so
we might have to cut this out of the show because this is the type of banter that people are really annoyed by, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, can we move on?
Well, why don't you talk a little bit while I figure out what his real name was?
Well, why don't, as Chris...
What if it was Francesco?
As Chris tries to determine what he's trying to determine...
No, Francesco. Francesco. I determined it. It is, his original name was Francesco Stephen Castelluccio.
Okay, so he's Italian.
Or, yeah, as the third and youngest son to an Italian, as Jim would pronounce it, family in the first ward of Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, so we're ready to move
on. His father, Anthony Castelluccio, was a barber and display. Ooh, so his dad was a barber, too.
Okay.
Barbering.
You know, everybody could figure this all out if they go see the movie Jersey Boys. So why don't we just send them to Jersey Boys, go to Netflix, watch Jersey Boys. Can we move on?
The whole song is in there. I don't know about... Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Why do we do this besides for Chris to drive me crazy? We do this because we're leading into what's new on Help with MySocialSecurity.com, which will begin in the next segment when Chris comes up with another song and some more pointless banter. But the reason we start with a song in 1935 is Social Security was created in 1935. The reason Chris now looks back 40 years to give you the number one song in America 40 years ago is because when Social Security was first created, they used a calculation called 40 elapsed years. Social Security, when it was first created, nobody ever paid into it. Think about that, folks. When they first started it, no one had paid into it. So what they did is they had a calculation called 40 elapsed years. It was always written into the original Social Security, and it was designed to help them determine benefits earlier in the program's life. But as the program evolved, so did the calculation, which again was all part of the original bill. They knew this was coming, and they ended up with what is now today called 35 computation years. And what they do for Social Security is they look at your earnings for the highest 35 years because they figure a person is going to work for 35 years. Now, some people say they actually look across 40 years, the original 40 elapsed years, and drop the lowest five to come up with 35 computation years. That in a roundabout way is true, but nowadays everybody just looks and says 35 computation years. So they're going to expect you to work for 35 years. They take your earnings for those 35 years. They add them all up, divide them by 35, actually it's by 420, excuse me, which...
Because they're trying to get a monthly amount.
Correct, because they have to get the months. And that gives them the average index monthly earnings, and from there they determine your Social Security. So that's why we start in 1935, 40 years ago, and 35 years ago. It's all our lead up into the little blog post that Chris is facetiously joking around that he doesn't remember, but it is helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. He does most of the blogs on there now, but it's our little effort to give you a 5-10 minute recording and written blog post every week on different Social Security's tips, tricks, and strategies, we call them.
That was a lot of buildup to just tell people that they're not going to hear what the update is for another half an hour.
Correct. But I'd like to explain to people why we do this. Okay. So now you understand why we do this. Let's get back back to the task at hand. What we were talking about for the previous two segments was a study that came out not too long ago. It was featured in the Wall Street Journal. We downloaded the study and we read it. It came from Texas Tech University and Utah Valley University. Some researchers in the financial planning departments wanted to look at the accuracy of free retirement planning services. And lo and behold, no surprise there. We need that Gomer Pyle saying there again, you know, surprise, surprise, surprise. That none of these websites, or I can't say none of them, but two-thirds of these websites actually were telling a fake client that these researchers created that could not afford to retire that they can go ahead and retire. Hmm. What's the matter?
I'm just fascinated by what you said.
Oh, okay. Well, you were hunting over there. Okay. But there's another study that came out around the same time. This one actually came out a few weeks before that. Surprisingly, same researchers at Texas Tech University came out with this study, and it was published in... Are you done? You just kind of threw the timing on
you
that.
You asked me
way
for
off.
that clip.
About 5 minutes ago, I said it would be an appropriate place to play.
I had to reach back in the archive to pull that out.
And you just decided to throw it in the middle of my conversation.
What better sooner than later?
Timing is everything in comedy. That did not work. It's still not working. So timing is everything.
Missed it by that much.
Yes, your timing was off by that much. Can you stop clicking now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this study also came out from researchers at Texas Tech University and also this time the University of Missouri, as Pete would say. Or does he say Missouri? Is he a Missouri or a Missouri?
I think he's a Missouri.
Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the University of Missouri or Missouri is. I guess it falls. Pete told us it depends where in the state it falls. We'll have to Google where the heck it is and see if it's on the Missouri or Missouri line, side of the line. Remember he said depends what part of the state. The east part says one
Missouri.
And the west part says the other. University of Missouri?
I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Texas Tech and the University of Missouri, according to Chris, they did another study. And this one does not surprise me because we, again, have been talking about this on the website, excuse me, on our radio show, and we've blogged about it on our website. But what we are trying to get people to understand, and we often talk about a study that also came out, the study that I downloaded from Harvard University, where Harvard found, as humans age, their ability to understand financial concepts also weakens. Well, this study that the University of Missouri and Texas Tech researchers, as published in the Management Science Journal, I didn't even know there was a journal of management science, where this study first came out, they found out that financial literacy declines with age.
Hmm.
The same thing Harvard found out years earlier. But you pointed out a unique aspect to their study.
They took it one step further.
They did. And what did they do?
Who?
The researchers from the University of Missouri and Texas Tech.
Ah, that went beyond the Harvard study? Yes. I'm just confirming that we know the question that's being asked.
Yes, that is the question.
Well, the step they took was to measure people's opinion of themselves and their own financial literacy. And as it turns out, as their actual literacy declines, their confidence in making financial decisions remains unchanged. So you can see this is setting up a very dangerous situation where people are overconfident in their abilities. They think that they're just as strong mentally as they were in maybe their 30s and 40s, yet they've, in reality, declined substantially. So what that ends up doing is people make decisions in an area where they are not equipped well, but they believe they're equipped properly. So they're going to get into a lot of trouble. This is one reason I think where a lot of elderly are taken advantage of by scam artists.
And that's what the Harvard University found as well. The Harvard University found, and again, we talked about this, they found that the part of our brain that helps us control or at least have financial literacy is one of the last to develop and one of the first to degrade. And as they graphed it, it was an upside down U. If you can picture a big capital U, people, just flip it upside down. We often call that a bell curve graph as well. But it starts low, rises in the center, and begins dropping down to a low number again. And that's what they found on that. And this study confirms that. But it went one step further because it also found that as people's ability to understand financial concepts degraded with age, their feelings of self-confidence did not. They felt they could still understand what was going on. They felt confident in their ability to make the decisions. And that they had the same findings that Harvard had, which is helping to explain why older people do fall victim to financial fraud. And why they fall victim to financial fraud in scams that we, as younger folk, find hard to believe they fell for. And it's not just, as the Harvard study found, it wasn't just maybe high school or below educated people who fell victims to these scams later in life. It was very well-educated people. Your level of education as your mind degrades gave no level of protection. But what they did find is your thoughts, your abilities, your opinion of yourself didn't degrade. So you felt you were making wise decisions and you weren't. That's a very scary situation to be in. Why do we share this with you constantly? And here is yet another study confirming it. And this is a study I admit I have not downloaded yet because they want $30 for it. Not that I have against it, $30. I've spent less money on more things or more money on less things. I don't know. So it's not the $30. But even Harvard gave me their study for free.
They did?
I just downloaded it again this morning.
Harvard?
Well, some website has given it away. But yeah, I have it. But this one, you have to pay $30 for.
How do you know what it says then?
I have the executive summary. They give you that for free.
I get it.
Yeah, they give you the executive summary for free.
Well, then we don't need to waste time reading the rest of it.
Well, you could find out more. But what I don't get is the other study we just talked about, the one that was featured in the Wall Street Journal, that also came from Texas Tech and Utah University, that one was free. I got that one for free. I didn't have to pay $30 for it. But this one I got to pay for. Just anyways. Just bemoaning the fact that they want us to buy it, but, you know.
Maybe there's a certain time where when it's fresh and new, there's a charge, but when it gets old.
It's possible.
It's less.
Yeah, just give it away at that point.
Maybe.
I don't know.
For the public good.
But the executive summary was free, and that's the summary I read. And it just, again, added credence to the Harvard study. And unique about the Harvard study is we talk all the time that the pinnacle age, at what age are we at our peak, according to Harvard and reaffirmed in this study, that we are at our peak of understanding financial literacy or financial concepts. And again, we as we age, as we get, grow up, it's one of the last parts of our brain to develop. It's at its peak level, age 53. We've talked about that before. And then, as it gets over the hump of age 53, it begins to decline as we age into our 60s, 70s, and 80s.
The fascinating part is your peak of financial confidence in making decisions for a male, that's age 19.
It doesn't change.
Right.
But we do talk about my nephew, Evan. We'll throw him under the bus again. Kid's almost 25 now. He'll be 25 in August. But I talked that a couple of years ago when he came out, he shelled out over $6,000 on two guns that are not allowed to be owned in the state of Massachusetts where he lives. Mm-hmm. So they're in my gun safe here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. He felt it was a bright idea to throw another $1,000 optic system on one of those guns, buy copious amounts of ammunition, and leave him 2,000 miles from where he lives because, as he put it, I'll come out there once a year and shoot them.
So,
and he purchased them on a credit card.
Do you see him going up that U-shaped hump
He's
at
still
all?
Climbing. He's climbing. He's climbing. Mm-hmm. He is. And I actually see him getting a little bit brighter.
Has he asked you to sell these guns yet?
Negative.
So he's not yet at the top?
No.
Okay.
And he did come visit last year, mm-hmm. and he shot them once.
Mm. Have you calculated yet for him the cost per
bullet?
Round? Yeah, the cost per round of shooting experience.
But my mom shared with me that a few years ago when I came back. He comes out and visits once a year. I was not as enthralled as he was with him buying these. And my mom shared with me that he shared with her. He was a little disappointed in my lack of enthusiasm. He thought I would have been much more pleased with his decision.
Well, he thought all you do is drive around out here with your the convertible top down with your guns ablazing and
I don't know what, but at the time he was 22 and he thought it was a brilliant move. Mm-hmm. We as I'm 52 and you are 48 almost
much younger
4 years mm-hmm. younger. We look at that and think, oh my God, what the heck was he thinking? But to him, it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And he is increasing his financial literacy every day, and he's getting up to that peak period, and then we begin to decline.
How old did you say you are?
Me? I'm 52.
So you're about to peak, and then it'll all be downhill from
yes,
there.
So I am warning our listeners, after next year, do not rely on things I say.
Because we're headed down
Fortunately,
the slope.
Fortunately, the study showed it was not a cliff. It's not 53 in a day and you're as dumb as a brick. It generally is going to take a good 20 years or more for me to age okay. out of my brilliance.
That's
How's
good.
That?
That's good.
And my humbleness.
Yeah, where is that graph?
With me or in general? Nah, just kidding. But why do I want to talk about these two studies? The first thing is be very cautious and very careful of any advisor willing to give away a quote-unquote free retirement plan and any website. This particular study was eye-opening in the inaccuracy of these free elements. Number two, when you are doing retirement planning, it doesn't take just 20 minutes or 30 minutes in front of a computer. Or it doesn't take us as advisors just an hour, as we alluded to on one of the postings on a industry-specific forum wrote and said. When we do an analysis, at least with us, and there's other advisors out there, you don't have to just, oh my goodness, where are we going to find someone? They're out there. Talk to them about these questions. Ask them, what software do you use? How long does it take you to do my plan? What type of data are you going to collect? We have 60 pages of data we collect. Not everybody, as you know, Chris, has to fill in every page. Some apply to some people, some apply to other people. But we collect a tremendous amount of data. And I tell you, when I say it, I know how long it takes my staff to do because I got to pay them. I know what I'm paying them. And it takes you guys, Chris, as you jokingly refer to as what? Anywhere between?
25 and 300 hours.
And fortunately, it has never taken 300.
Not what, many at the extremes. No.
What Chris says is the average, honestly, is about 28 hours I pay to have you guys do one of these analyses. Some, as Justin's alluded to when we talked earlier, take about 14, 15 hours, and others take well north of 40 hours. But on average, it's about 28 hours to do a typical person or a typical couple's retirement analysis. And we also get people to understand that's just the beginning. If we could predict the future with any degree of certainty and accuracy, as much as I enjoy recording this podcast, I wouldn't be here. Because I would have picked those winning lottery numbers at $1 billion, not $1.5 billion, because then I would have had to share it with 5 other people. At $1 billion, when nobody won, mm-hmm. I would have picked the winning lottery numbers.
Picked it off right there.
I would have picked it right there. I'd take $1 billion. Mm-hmm.
Well, that being said, we joke around like that, and so people are thinking, well, if you can't predict the future, then why are we even bothering?
Baseline.
Even if you can't predict the future, you can still plan for an unpredictable future.
Exactly. Like I like that.
I just came up with that.
I like that.
It's the future is absolutely unpredictable, but with proper planning and preparation, you can set yourself up so those unpredictable moments have less of an impact on what you're trying to do, what you're planning to do. And our process is designed to do exactly that. At the end of the process, we propose a plan for you that will provide some level of certainty or security in a situation where we fully admit there's all kinds of unpredictable parts.
Oh, I tell people, mm-hmm. here is your plan. It's 100% wrong.
Right.
And no one has fired us. They always mm-hmm. giggle. They look at me sometimes, huh?
Huh? Yeah.
But the issue is we can't predict the future. So remember what I told you in part two of the planning process. Annual updates, monitoring. I like to get people to equate their retirement plan as the very first trip to the doctor. That's where all the poking and prodding and measuring and everything that goes on when you go for your very first physical happens. Why? He or she, your doctor, is trying to create a baseline to now measure everything from. So a retirement analysis is similar. We have the baseline. We did all the poking and prodding and measuring. That's what took all the time. The updates are very easy. It's 3 pages. It's less than a quarter the cost you pay to put it together. Why? It doesn't take us as much time. And you fill everything in. We plug it into the software. We make sure you're on track. And that's how planning is. But also, folks, when we come back, I want to talk more about this recent study on the financial literacy and how it supports the previous study from Harvard. Because what I often tell our listeners to this podcast and listeners in Northern Colorado to this radio show and people who call me for a coffee and a second opinion or people who come into the office for a coffee and a second opinion, I tell them, I may be sitting there talking to the 50-year-old you or the 60-year-old you. Most people who come talk to us initially are in their 50s and 60s. I say I might be talking to the 50 or 60-year-old you, but I am advocating for the 70, 80, and 90-year-old you. Only the younger you, only the 50 and 60-year-old you can put in place a plan that ages well, because we as humans are not. And what can we do? What can you as a 60-year-old do to put in place a plan that the 80-year-old you will understand? That's the key. I have to get people to think like an 80-year-old sometime when we make these recommendations, because they look at us, Chris, and say, well, that's too simple. That's the idea. Keep it simple. And we'll get into that in the next segment.
So when we come back from this short break, we're going to find out what the number one song is from 35 years ago this week. This song was considered to be the first hit song that is classified as rap. We'll find out what that is in just a moment after this short break on the Retirement and IRA Show.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a 1-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
Welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show, the last segment here. That is the number one song from 35 years ago this week. Very fabulous artist named Blondie.
That's not a rap song.
Just wait. I'll let it play in the background until we get to the rap part.
Blondie raps?
Rapture is the name of the song. One
Rapture.
Word. Rapture. But back at this time, it was starting to become popular for people to take existing songs and rap over the top of them, but this is the first song that was written specifically with a rap section that became popular, became a number one hit. So this is the first number one hit that is considered a rap song. And it doesn't happen until later on in the song, so I'll...
Mute it till then.
I'll play it quietly in the background when it gets there.
Okay, I thought it'd be like Jam Master Flash or something like that.
No, this is 1981 when this came out. At the time, the actual lyrics were considered to be silly, but this only added to the uniqueness and novelty of the song. This is the first time a song artist had created a unique song to rap.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Why don't you tell us then, as we're waiting for Blondie to get to the point, what's new on this week's Help with MySocialSecurity.com?
I can't really get into it because the rap part's going to start here in just a second.
What do you think listeners really want to hear? Fat Freddy told me everybody slide. DJ spinning, I said, my.
Flash is fast. Flash is cool. Francois, c'est pas. Flash ain't no Duke. And you don't stop. A little French in there, even.
Yeah, she was being very unique.
Very unique.
So Blondie was the first rap star. Mm-hmm.
You know the name of the bassist for Blondie?
Yes, Chris Stein.
Exactly.
You always like pointing that
I
out.
I do.
Not the Chris Stein, a Chris Stein. You are the Chris Stein.
Well, they're one and the same. Yes. That was my career before becoming
a bassist.
Certified financial planner.
You would have been about five, but...
They're not that old.
1981, what were you, about 13? 18?
14.
14.
Mm-hmm. I was a prodigy, a bassist prodigy.
Bassist prodigy. Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent.
Okay, so what am I going to tell you about?
What's
new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com?
Absolutely.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa! What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
This week on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, I discuss the cost of filing early for Social Security. So we talk about filing at different ages, at as early as 62 for your retirement benefit. There's other benefits that might be available before that, but your first age of eligibility for retirement benefits is 62. Could be as late as 70. There's no benefit to waiting to pass 70. So there's really a decision to be made somewhere in those 8 years between 62 and 70. And I try to quantify for you that decision to file at 62 compared to a later age. And people who listen to this show a lot, people that listen to that blog, realize a lot of times we're recommending people delay. And there's a lot of people that are, you know, vehemently opposed to the concept of delaying because they think they need to get out as much as they can. But when you look at the unique nature of Social Security in that it is a lifetime source of income that has an inflation adjustment, that is a very unique asset for people. And it is, in fact, an asset. It's something that once you've earned that benefit, it's something that you can rely upon, unlike very many other things financially in life. So it is a very valuable asset for people and has become a more and more important part of the whole that is a person's retirement plan. So making the decision of when to file is very important. So I draw some examples and try to illustrate for people exactly what decision it is that they are making. And that's what's new with helpmysocialsecurity.com.
Excellent.
What's new, pussycat?
Excellent. Very good. Okay, so we have the last segment of today's show, which I hope people found interesting. I want it mostly to motivate. We didn't get into a lot of specifics of our planning process. We didn't get into a lot of specifics. We didn't call out these free websites. We mentioned a few of them that were in the study that were found to be giving less than stellar advice, I guess, is a good way of wording it. I just wanted to get people thinking. That was my intent of today's show. I want to get people thinking. And one of the things I often have to tell people when they come in and talk to me and get them thinking about is to come up with a very simple plan for their retirement. Not anything complex. It's not about investing. I don't know where. Ever since 401ks were created by Tom Benya in the early 80s, and eventually corporations started passing the risk of retirement on from their balance sheets with pensions to individuals with these defined contribution plans, otherwise known as 401ks and et al., I guess we could say, all the other ones out there with different numbers after their names. All these different types of plans, it's just really a way of passing the risk of retirement on to you from them. That's all it was. But this notion that your retirement has to be 100% dependent on the stock market? That's crazy. That's crazy talk. It's not what it's all about. If anything, only because as you age, you're not going to, number one, care about the market, and number two, you're going to have difficulty following the market.
Well, I think Albert Einstein gives us a lot of wisdom in this area.
Oh, he does?
He does. His famous quote, "Things should be as simple as possible, but not simpler."
Okay.
Let that sink in a little
not
bit.
Not too simple.
Overly simplistic would it's imply not done as well as they could be.
That's like these retirement
correct
websites we're talking
right
about.
Right. These are too simplistic is our, and that's at least 72% of them missed the mark. And that's a pretty large failure rate.
That's a big matzo ball, as they would say.
We don't know that they identified the 28% that gave better advice, nor do they comment, I believe, on the quality of that advice. But if you're going to be out there and you're not sure which batch you're in, a 72% chance of getting bad advice doesn't sound very promising. And I think their failure is they're trying to make things overly simplistic.
Or sell a product.
But even the ones that aren't as nefarious as that, that are trying to maybe give some advice, trying to help members or some other group, maybe it's even a so-called nonprofit, which of course doesn't guarantee they don't have an agenda. But let's say we find the most positive, most beneficial-willed group you could imagine that all they're trying to do is help people. The format that they use for these online systems are too simplistic for something as complicated as retirement. Retirement has a lot of moving parts. Everybody's situation is different. And without knowing even what kinds of questions to ask and how to dig into certain things that are more important than others, I don't think the site has any hope of giving you reliable advice. So I think they've pushed that line. But then you have all these people that try to make things too complicated, right? Just because something's complicated doesn't mean it's better.
Mm-hmm.
So these overly complex systems, and some people are so impressed, oh my gosh, that I can't understand a word that presenter said to me about how we're going to move money here, and we're going to do this, and we're going to buy this, and then we're going to time this, and then when this gets over here, we're going to scrape this over and put it over in this other account. If you can't explain it to your 85-year-old mother or grandmother, it's too complicated. It doesn't have to be that complicated.
And I wouldn't even say have to explain it to an 85-year-old. You have to be able to explain it to a 55 or a 65-year-old for them to understand what it is. And again, it alludes back to what I often tell people. I may be talking to the 50 or 60-year-old you, but I'm advocating for the 70, 80, or 90-year-old you. And I get into the Harvard study. I explain to them peak age, 53, and then it starts going down. I often tell people, we know, I've got news for you listeners, we know when we age, we will get weaker physically. We will get weaker mentally. And for many people, we will get weaker financially. However, out of those three elements, two are totally out of our control. We cannot stop the aging process and delay getting weaker physically and delay getting weaker mentally. But what we can do, it doesn't work for everyone, but what we can do, or what any competent retirement planner can do, not one trying to rush through a one-hour plan, or not some website trying to spit out a number in five easy questions or whatever it is, but what a competent retirement planner can do is help put in place a plan that ages well, because we're not. Nobody is. We share that. We don't get to a point in our lives where we all of a sudden reverse course and start getting younger, stronger, and healthier. That the cycle just repeats itself over and over again. That's not how it happens. So I may be talking to the 50-year-old you as you're listening to this, or the 60-year-old as you're listening to this, but I want you to start looking at this through the eyes of an 80-year-old. You're not going to get a lot of these advanced financial topics. Heck, most people out there, Chris, buying these exotic investment options and strategies, they don't even understand it. They've hired some advisor who calls himself a financial planner and is nothing more than an investment product pusher or just an investment advisor offering quote-unquote free financial planning, as we alluded to. As long as you move money over to them, they'll manage your money, usually as a percentage of your assets, and they're just going to take money from you and, oh, yeah, here's a free financial plan to go with that. But buy this and buy that, and people don't understand a non-traded this or a private placement that. They don't get all these things, but they own them. And they may be looking at them through the eyes of 50, 60-year-olds. Annuities are a classic example. I can't tell you how many people come into our office with an annuity, and I'll say to them, why did you buy it? And they'll say, I don't know. Or they'll say, oh, I bought it for this. And I'll look at it and say, well, it doesn't do that. Oh, I bought it for that. Nope, doesn't do that either. People don't understand sometimes why they buy an annuity or a crazy investment product. And we use annuities in our office. We don't use crazy investment products, but we use annuities. But what I try to get people to understand is an annuity is just a tool, an investment is just a tool. It is the process and the strategy behind that that matters. You don't just buy a bunch of different tools. You buy the right tools. If you're going to go change a light bulb that broke in the socket, you're not going to bring a toilet plunger. You're hopefully going to bring an electric tester and a little needle-nose plier.
Or a potato.
Or a potato. That works too. Not a wet potato.
No. Bad idea. Right.
So what I try to get people to understand, if done properly, you do have control over your financial future. You know you're going to age and get weaker physically. You know you're going to age and get weaker mentally. But if a proper plan is in place, it just might be set up in such a way that as you age, as the plan ages, it actually gets stronger financially. Not that it grows to these massive sizes. That's not what I mean. It actually has a plan and a strategy in place that as you age, maybe additional income turns on or inflation adjustments, or there's a plan in place for making you understand your Medicare options, your Medicaid or long-term care. Or we may use the new QLAC products to reduce required minimum distributions while you're in your 70s, so it gives you a tremendous amount of more guaranteed income in your 80s. These are the types of strategies that don't involve investment, folks. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. It's not all about investing anymore. It's a return of your assets. You have to consume them. It's teaching you how to consume assets because you can't take them with you. And with interest rates being this low, and they have been low for a very long time, and I'm afraid they're going to be low for a very long time to come, the idea that you can amass enough money to generate interest safely for you to live off of, those days are over, at least right now. And we have to use different strategies than what maybe your parents or grandparents used. And you have to understand that you may recognize or you may feel comfortable with some of these exotic investment products and strategies advisors, investment advisors may be recommending to you in your 50s and 60s as your retirement plan. But you're not going to get them in your 70s, 80s, and 90s. You are going to be aging and not understand them. So again, we may be talking to the 50 or 60-year-old you, but our process, our planning is designed to put in place the protections that the 80 and 90-year-old you are going to need. If the younger you doesn't take care of the older you, no one else is going to be able to. And what the new study found is that you might be now in a position where you are in your 80s, you think you're maintaining your financial literacy, but studies have shown you haven't. And now, Chris, what happens? You make very bad decisions, or you might find yourself the victim of financial fraud.
Right. And it may not be as overt as outright fraud, but just people who find themselves pitched or sold an opportunity, I'll call it that just to make it generalized, that doesn't really do what they thought that it would do. And while it may not be illegal, it certainly is inappropriate for them at their stage in life or their retirement situation or their financial needs or what have you. And that's what I see a lot of. There's just too many unscrupulous actors in certain areas of our society. And one of them, and another article I was looking at when looking at today's show, was the concentration of brokers with fraud allegations. They mapped them out, and they're concentrated around the areas with lots of retirees.
Wow, I didn't see
they're
that
targeting,
article.
They are targeting the people with this diminished financial literacy. Guess what? The crooks have figured out what Harvard has figured out.
And what
and
the
what
new
Texas
study,
Tech
Texas Tech,
figured
yeah.
out. That as you age, you are more susceptible. And unlike the young you, who was very susceptible, at that age you were very susceptible, but you had nothing to offer. You had no assets. You had no savings.
Right.
Here, you could be 75 or 80 years old, be again susceptible like you were in your late teens or early 20s, but be sitting on hundreds
and that's how
of thousands
the,
of dollars.
That's how the Texas Tech study mm-hmm. begins.
Yeah.
People over the age of 60 control over two-thirds of the nation's wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're warning on, because you hit the nail on the head, and the fraudsters know this.
Yep.
And even if they're not committing outright fraud, they're being less than genuine.
They're harvesting. They're making a living off of harvesting money from you.
Exactly.
Now, they might justify it themselves, saying, well, I'm offering this service or this or that, or I'm just selling them something. But what they're doing is they're taking advantage of people who can't say no as they should be able to when they go to sell them that widget, whatever it might be.
So when we work with people, when we put a retirement plan together, that's what it is. It's not just a number. We never even concentrate on a number. We look at income. What we get our people to understand, our radio show listeners, people who work with us, what we say is throughout retirement, and I usually do this, bang on a table. Usually in my office, I have a granite table, so it makes a deeper sound. My office table desk, as you know, is granite. So what we say is we look at income to create that minimum dignity floor. How much money are you going to need that if the worst case scenario happens, you outlive all your assets? Will you have a plan in place that will take care of that minimum dignity floor so you can continue to live with the dignity and respect you need as you get into your 80s and your 90s? Do we have a plan in place for Medicare? Do we have a plan in place for Medicare Advantage or Medigap, prescription Part D? Are we adjusting for long-term care and life insurance needs? Are you planning for your income needs? Do you need to create your own personal pension to supplement Social Security, any type of private pension you may be available for? Do you have inflation adjustments with your income? What do we have to do? How can we optimize Social Security? How can we give you tax planning strategies? Should we be converting IRAs into Roth IRAs? Should we be debiting from your retirement accounts prior to required minimum distributions to reduce future RMDs to give you perhaps tax-free Social Security? Because Social Security, listeners, is what we call tax optimized or tax optimal income. Money from your IRA is always taxable. Money from Social Security at best is 100% tax free, at worst 85% taxable. How can we get it out in the optimal way tax free? Well, there's strategies for that. Are there any that we can do with that? Do you have a special needs child or need to guarantee an inheritance? How is your cash flow going to look when you are in your 80s and perhaps a widower or widower? Have you heard of the widower or widower penalty? Do you realize when you put pension systems together with joint and survivor options, which we love, will leave the widower, however, in a much higher tax bracket? Because the income doesn't decline, which is good, but the tax bracket changes when you pass away. And you may be in the 15% bracket while both of you are alive, and all of a sudden in the 25% bracket as a widow or widower. How can we adjust and plan for these? These are the things that we review. These are the things that any competent retirement planning service will review. You are not going to get this, people, from a free website or worse, from a free lunch seminar or some radio show commercial saying for anybody with more than $200,000 saved for their retirement, come on in for a complimentary. This is not an off-the-shelf, personally, off-the-shelf cookie-cutter plan. This is designed just for you. Bull. They're not doing any of that crap to help you. They're not giving you anything for free. We don't give away things for free. You've got to put a place and plan together while you are in your 50s and 60s, that ages well, because we're not. You have to understand, you're going to get weaker physically. You're going to get weaker mentally. You will also get weaker financially. But if you can be proactive and put a good plan in place, it might work out. It might. There's no certainty, but it might be a plan that actually gets stronger financially as you age and is simple, is backed by simple lifetime inflation adjusted guaranteed income to cover your required expenses or that minimum dignity floor. So if you do run out of assets, you're still going to be able to live a respectable life. And then you take your investment assets and you use those to cover your desired expenses and enjoy yourself earlier in retirement and go do the things you want to do. But don't rely on anything free. That's what I want you to get to think about on today's show. Don't rely on the websites. Don't rely on people trying to give you away something for free. Be proactive and recognize as you age, you will lose some ability to understand financial concepts. Plan for that. The 50 and 60 year old you has to take care of the 80 and 90 year old you.
So that brings us to the end of another episode of the Retirement and IRA Show. Thanks a lot for joining us this week. We'll be back next week with another show, of course. Any of our archive show you can get at the retirementandiraShow.com. So hopefully everyone who's listening live will go out and have a very fabulous Saturday, and we'll be back with you next week.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
Like what you just heard? Missed some of today's show? Listen again on iTunes or the retirementandiraShow.com.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.